Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. It'll be verses 1 through 12. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces on the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is living? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. So as we head through the Apostles' Creed, today we come to where we say we believe on the third day he arose again. On this hinges our entire faith. On the third day, Christ rose again. So to understand it, we can't start with the gospel. We're going to have to go much earlier. Genesis 3, I meant much earlier. Genesis 3 is the fall of man. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve partake of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 3, man breaks the first commandment that God gave them, the only commandment that was given to them, which was, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." God told Adam, "If you ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." God doesn't lie. Upon them eating that, death entered the world. Upon the eating of the knowledge of good and evil, death happened. If you read through the book of Genesis, and you really read it, you realize Genesis is a book about death. When it goes past Genesis 3, the next thing you hear about is Cain and Abel. If you don't know, Cain killed Abel. It's the first death in the Bible. When you get past Cain and Abel, it immediately goes into a genealogy, and it's the most interesting genealogy in the Bible, at least I think so, because it goes through and it talks about the longevity of these people and that this person lived for 500 years. And at the end of it, he said, and they died. With every one of them, it would go through and say, this person lived for 900 years, and they died. Methuselah lived 999 years, and you know what? He died. Genesis goes through, and it's a fight against death all through Genesis. We go forward to Joseph and his brothers. His brothers threw him into a well and thought about killing him. They raised him up and sold him into slavery instead. And while he was a slave, he got in trouble in Potiphar's house because Potiphar's wife accused him of doing things he shouldn't. And he was sentenced to prison for the rest of his life where he was supposed to die. And what got him out of there was a prediction that the entire land was going to die in a 7-year famine. Genesis is about the fall of man. Genesis is about death entering the world. And Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. Each and every one of us deserves death. And you know what else? Each and every one of us is going to die. They say the only two things that are at a surety is death and taxes. We will die because we are sinful. But that brings us to this wonderful little passage. That brings us to where we get to talk about on the third day, Jesus rose again. Because you see, when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus took on my sin. He took on your sin. He took on the sins of the entire world so that we could be forgiven for our sins. He took them all. The sins you don't want to talk about. The sins I don't want to talk about. He took every one of them to the cross. And he was nailed to the cross. And those nails, as those entered him, he was taking our sin. And y'all, Jesus died. Because the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid the price for each and every one of us. But the miraculous part is, he was bigger. Christ was bigger and stronger than that sin. Christ was able to conquer death and rise the third day. Christ was able to take on all of that sin. It was all forgiven. It was all conquered and gone, and on the third day, Jesus Christ arose victorious. It tells you in the Bible, in the Psalms, in one of the Corinthians, and in Revelations, that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Christ defeated death right there on a cross. It took him 3 days to come back into to flesh, but Christ came back just as we will. Because we know Christ was resurrected, we know that we will be as well. And not resurrected in the form that you're in right now. Never realized how much it was going to hurt to be 40. My 40s, stuff started hurting that I didn't know I even had. But you know what? When I come back, I'm not going to have to worry about that. Because it says there's going to be no grief. It says there's going to be no suffering and there's going to be no tears. So I don't have to worry about any of that, and neither do you. The scripture says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Because Christ took that victory away from death. On the third day, Christ arose. That is what our faith hinges on, is the fact that Christ arose on the third day with all of our sins taken care of. All you have to do is believe in Christ Jesus, and it's all taken care of. Paul states in Romans 15, he says, it's no doubt that Christ came back. He appeared to the women at the tomb. And then he appeared to the 12 and Peter. He says Cephas in Romans, but whatever, it's Peter. He said, and then he appeared to 500 believers all at one time. 500 believers all at one time got to come hear him. I'm not positive on this, but I've always envisioned that being the time when he gave the Great Commission. You know, go forth into the world, teach them all that I've taught you, baptize them in my name, and make disciples of the earth. Christ appeared to 500 all at the same time. But then Paul says, and then, as if somebody untimely born, he appeared to me, and he came into my life. And I empathize with Paul right there, because I wasn't there to see Christ when all the 500 did or when the 12 did. But at another time, Christ came into my life. Christ infected my life and drew me to him and took hold of me, because my faith is not strong enough to get me into heaven. I don't know if y'all realize that. My faith isn't strong enough. I have a wonderful podcast I listen to. It says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. My faith's not strong enough to get me in there. But what I have faith in is strong enough that I can go to heaven because of him. Because of Jesus, who conquered death, who defeated it and beat the grave. My faith falls into Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is strong enough to get me to heaven, to bring me to eternity. And I know there's people that debate about mansions and eternity. Some scripture says it's a mansion, some say it's a room. But I got to tell you, I love what Teresa Neal said to me one day. She said, I don't care about a mansion or a room or what it is. I'll take the shack over in the field. I just want to be there. And y'all, I agree. I'll take the shack over in the field. I just want to be there. And my faith in Jesus Christ, that is enough, because Jesus Christ is enough. And he conquered death on that third day. So when we say in the Apostles' Creed, on the third day he arose again, this may be one of the most important parts of the entire creed, because Jesus Christ defeated death for you and for me. Amen.